Our loving Father in heaven, we come before you now to worship you. Father, we praise you as the only, one and only true God, our creator and our sustainer and our savior. Father, we pray that we would worship you in spirit and truth this morning. That's how we would like to approach the worship to you. Father, we think about the new year, all the things that happened last year and look forward to the new year and all the things that will happen this year. Father, we know that there'll be hard things and there'll be good things, but we know that ultimately we belong to you and you love us and you care for us. Father, we pray again that you would be with us today as we worship you in spirit and truth. We ask in Christ's name. Amen.
If you have your Bibles with you, turn to Romans chapter 12. That's where our reading will come from this morning. Romans chapter 12, and we'll start the reading in verse 9. Let's read together. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in your zeal, but be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints, and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it's written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you'll heap burning coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Amen. Let's pray together. Our wonderful Father, we praise your name. We give you all that we can with our lips this morning, God. And we ask and pray that through your Spirit you would search the intents of our heart to know us and to try us and to see the love that we have for you, but also, Lord, to see our need for your salvation through your Son. We are thankful for the blood that cleanses us now as we seek you in prayer as your children to come to your throne for both forgiveness and both for peace and for hope. Father, the hope that you've given us is beautiful, and we thank you for it. It's not a hope that it might happen, but a waiting for when it will. Father, that hope drives us in this life, and we thank you for giving that to us through the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, as we're here today as a family united through that blood, we pray that you would help us to be humble. Help us, Lord, not to think of ourselves as too high above others, but to associate with low members of this earth, to consider ourselves that which we truly are. Father, you looked down upon us and you showed us mercy. We were lowly and in desperate and in need. And Father, that's an attitude that we wish to have until we see you face to face. Help us with that. Father, I pray as a body here is in worship this morning that it would be honorable to you, that it would be praiseworthy to you, and that again, that you would know our affection for you as a father, and one that takes care of us and gives us all that we need. We thank you for that. Father, we have many that are not here today because of many different problems, many different trials that they're going through. Not only do we pray for ours that are here today, but for theirs. Father, I pray that you would heal them and give them the comfort that only you can provide through your Spirit. Father, we have many in our congregation right now who are experiencing sickness, and I pray that you would be with them and heal them. We trust and pray that you will. Father, thank you so much for the visitors that we have here. Thank you so much for being able to see our brother John Ashley and his wonderful face and all the wonderful joy that he brings so many people. I pray that you would bless him as he continues to be here and as he leaves. I thank you for the work that he's doing in New Zealand, and I thank you so much for the fervent spirit that he has to do it. Bless him, Father. Father, I thank you so much for Summer's mom and for Rosie, and I thank you for their time here. I pray that it's been a blessing to them, and I pray that you would bless them as they go back to serve you in America. Father, we could go on and on about your greatness, and we'll continue to praise you now in song. Thank you for allowing us to be here together. Amen.
Morning, everybody. Welcome to 2017. Unfortunately, it's a new year. I don't know why everyone's scared to admit it, but last night at 12 o'clock, it still kept on ticking. Hasn't changed. I Googled, just out of interest, and I'd like to share this with you, I Googled celebrities that died in 2016. You probably know some of the names, and you probably know some of the people. You probably went to some of their concerts in your misguided youth or whatever it was that you did. Okay. David Bowie or Bowie, I don't know how you want to pronounce it. You know, there's so much debate about that, and I don't care really. You know, he was a great singer. George Michael, Gene Wilder, Fidel Castro. Anybody hear about him and the stuff he did? Carrie Fisher, Debbie Reynolds, Prince. I'm not going to read 60 names, you're safe. I'm going to stop there. Over 60 celebrities died in 2016, which is remarkable. You know, the world is, whoa, all these people are gone, and how's it going to affect our lives? But when Jesus hung on the cross, it made a bigger difference. Huge difference. These celebrities are probably standing in a queue waiting to get into heaven, and we'll read Romans 14 in a moment about what happens when we get into that queue. But these celebrities are probably standing in a queue, which they didn't want to do on this planet because they were celebrities. And they didn't have to. I guess if Fidel Castro wanted to go and eat in a restaurant and he didn't like the people in the queue, he could shoot them all up and go and sit in the restaurant anyway. Or whatever he wanted to do because he was that powerful. Celebrities think they're the greatest thing to hit this planet. But at the end of the day, when we go to the scripture in Romans 14 and we start reading in verse 10, it says, why do you pass judgment on your brother? Which is what I'm doing when I'm talking about the celebrities. And I probably shouldn't be passing judgment on them because that's not my job. That's God's job. And I'm going to leave it for him to do that. Okay. I'm not going to stand here and tell you about people's lifestyles and how good and bad they were and what they've done. That's not my job. It's not yours either. It's God's job. And let God do what God does best. Let him judge them. Let him take care of that. It says here in verse 10, why do you pass judgment on your brother? Why do you despise your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. And I think that's one of the scariest scriptures I read every time I open it up and I read it. Because I know that one day I will bow and I will be before God Almighty and I will have to answer for everything that I've done, whether it's good or bad. And not everything I do in my life is good, I can tell you that. My kids will tell you that. My wife will tell you that. A lot of my friends will tell you that. So we're all human at the end of the day, and every one of us makes mistakes. Every one of us does things that are wrong. But the good news is that Jesus came so that we don't have to be condemned. We're not going to go to hell because of the things we've done, people. We're going to go to hell because we don't accept Jesus, because we don't take him, the precious gift that God has given to us. That's why we're going to go to hell. You're not going to go to hell because you've murdered someone. But you will go to hell if you're not forgiven because of the way that God has set it up. He's asked us to take Jesus as our Savior. And when we sit around this table like we're going to do this morning, we actually remember Jesus. We remember what he did on the cross, and we remember that our forgiveness doesn't come from within us. There's nothing I can do to be forgiven. It comes from looking to the cross and remembering Jesus and understanding what it is that he did over there. That transaction that takes my sins and makes it his and makes me clean and actually makes him unclean. That's what makes a difference. And that's what we're sitting around this table this morning, and that's what we're going to remember. Will the service please come forward?
Will you pray with me, please? Our loving God and Father, at this time we come before you with thanksgiving. We thank you for the precious gift that we have in Jesus Christ, your Son, and the wonderful plan of salvation that you've made available because of your Son. At this time we remember the things that he's done for us, but most of all, Lord, we remember the things that he continues to do for us. And we pray, Lord, that as we remember these things and we take part of the symbol which indicates the sacrifice that was made of his body for us, we pray that you bless each and every one of us as we partake and remember this. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, as we're about to pass around the cup, we ask that you cleanse our mind and our body and continue to look to you for the blessing that you are to us. As Norman said, we all make mistakes. Help us to use this weekly ritual to cleanse us and refocus us on you, because we know that the world distracts us in so many different ways and people of the world have their own priorities, but we know that if we keep you as the main area of target thought in our mind, we know that we can never go wrong. We know that you'll always be there for us to guide us and help us along. We thank you for the sacrifice of your Son to cleanse us. In Jesus' name, amen.
There's not really much I want to say about giving, other than this is the time of the assembly that we do it, and there's no compulsion. If you're visiting with us and you feel you don't want to give, that's fine. The money gets used to further God's kingdom and to preach the gospel wherever we can use it. Sometimes I wish we do a long, in-depth study about giving and the genius of God's generosity and how he set things up and how giving actually brings praise to him, and that by contributing and by giving and by having his word taught across the globe, people come to know him and how he gets praised through that. Before they take up the collection, let's pray. Father, in this day, we thank you for Jesus. Father, we thank you for the fact that he died for us on the cross, that he gave his life, and that he was willing to do that for us. Father, we ask that you'd bless us this morning as we continue with this assembly, as we give, as we share, and as your word is reaching people all over the globe, and whatever contribution we can make from our little congregation here, Father, help us to do that. Bless us, Father, in this day. So I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Like to welcome you all here this morning. Good to see you here, and to be sharing together as we worship God and share a bit of his word, and of course as we have remembered the Lord's death and proclaimed his name. This morning I'm going to tell you about obviously love, and you would have maybe been suggested by the songs that Ryan picked this morning, and I better put my glass on. I want to tell you just a very quick story, hopefully it's quick. Earlier in the year, I was sitting at the Balga Markets with George Funk and Eddie, early in the morning. The sun was coming up, and the sun's coming up in our eyes, and I'm squinting, and they've both got sunnies on, George is saying to me, "Yeah, why don't you wear sunnies?" And I said, "Oh, they never look any good. You know, I don't ever use them. Never wore sunnies in my life." And anyway, it was pretty bright, and I didn't think anything more about it. And the next morning, I got this text, and it was a text that had a website attached. And I thought, I didn't know George's number at that time. I thought, George has sent me a text to show me where to get sunnies from. And I thought, fair enough. You know, so I went on the website, and they were Oakley. It was an Oakley website, and I thought, George thinks it's a good thing, you know. I didn't know that it was his phone number. And I thought, George is, you know, helping me out here. These are, you know, like 50% off. Beauty, you know, I might get myself a pair of sunnies. And the only time I bought something online prior to that was dishwasher tablets. And this time I thought, oh yeah, no worries. And so I got my credit card out and I put my details in and away she goes. And, you know, I think I spent $50. And I thought, yeah, it's a pretty good deal. They're usually $170, $180, you know. I can't lose here. And then after I'd done that, I went and saw Josh and I said, hey, Josh, I just bought these sunnies. And he says, where'd you buy them from? And I said, oh, from this website. And he says, yeah, Dad, that's not the Oakley website. And he says, I don't know where you probably lost your money. It's all gone. You know, it's probably, you know, I don't know what you're doing. I said, well, of course, George sent it to me. So then I thought, oh, I better look this number up and see if it's George's or not. And of course it wasn't George's. And, I'd written that off, and then 3 or 4 months later I got this. And I thought, oh, you beauty. There's something coming in the mail for me. I got my sunnies. And anyway, I think Tim came round a couple of days later. And you can see, well, you can't really see. It's pretty fuzzy. But I got these sunnies. They look pretty good. Hey, they're not bad. I haven't worn them. Because right in the centre of it, in the bridge here, it doesn't say Oakley, it says Oakey. And an Oakey is somebody from Oklahoma. And this all looks really good. That looks like the genuine thing. All this, if you look at side on, yeah, not a problem. But then when you look at it, it says Oakey. It doesn't have an A and it doesn't have an L in it. And I'm thinking, well, okay. I don't think I can wear those because people might pick on me a bit. And even then, when I looked at the case, it says something a little bit different. It doesn't say Oakey. It says, I don't know what it says. But it's very blurred, so you couldn't tell. And what I want to talk about this morning is the genuineness of things. You know, the internet is fraught with all these sorts of things, genuine things. People are coming in from all over the world with all different schemes, and they bring in ungenuine things that are made to look like genuine items. And I want to ask us this morning, how genuine is our love? How genuine is our love to our brothers and sisters? How genuine is our love to our God? Is it just a love that is, you know, when everything's going really good, where we love each other really very strongly? Or is it a love when things are really, really, really bad that we say, I still love you and I want to help you and I have concern for you? In John chapter 13, Andrew, John chapter 13, we'll get rid of those ugly pictures up there. John 13, and reading from verse 34 and following, Jesus says to us, he says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Jesus says these things. He didn't come, with the example of Jesus, isn't it? He didn't come and he had a wonderful time, had a party on earth and had great times with all of us and then left. He loved us in such a way that he was willing and did die on the cross for all of us. He loved us so much that he was willing to put his life away to make sure that the will of the Father was completed and that he made salvation come to all men. He is God. He could have done whatever he wanted, but he chose to lay his life down in genuine love for every human being that had lived, that will live for all time. To give them the opportunity to be saved through his death on the cross, to give him the opportunity to have his spirit through putting our faith and hope in him through the waters of baptism, and to give us the opportunity of life eternal with him and the Father. You know, we read in Romans chapter 12, we probably won't go there but Romans chapter 12 and verses 9 through 12, Paul says to the church, let love be genuine. And what does Paul mean by this? He goes on to explain it very clearly in the following verses, 9 through 24. He says, abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good. He says, love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honour. Do not be slothful in zeal, be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord. He says, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer, contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be seen, never be wise in your own sight. Don't repay evil for evil, but give thought to what is honourable in the sight of all. If it's possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with you. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine. I'll repay, says the Lord. And to the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink, for by doing so you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So Paul says to the church here at Rome, if you want to be genuine in your love, follow these things. Be aware of the circumstances around you, of what's happening around you, contributing to people's needs, rejoicing with people, being patient in tribulation. You know, over the last few years, we've had many, many tribulations happen to the people in this congregation. But we need to be patient in that tribulation. We need to work through those things, because when we're patient in tribulation, we need to be constant in prayer. We need to be contributing to others' needs through prayer and through physically, through ways and means of all sorts of things. Being ready to serve each other, to be affectionate to each other, to be genuinely caring for others. The most difficult genuine love that you can have is when things aren't easy. When things are difficult, when you don't agree maybe with somebody. Many, many people didn't agree with Jesus, but Jesus didn't say, well, because you don't agree with me, I don't want to forgive your sins. But we must help others to see the truth that is in Jesus. If we have a look into 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verses 1 through 8, just 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verses 1 through 8. And of course we all know this passage of scripture, and it's talking about love. And we read, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have a prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but not have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, and love never ends. A genuine love here that Paul wrote to the church at Corinth and writes to us. A love that is not centred on our own lives, a love that is centred on others, a love that is shown to us through Jesus, a love that is given to us to have the interests of others above our own, a love that is patient and kind. It's not envious, not boastful, not arrogant, not rude. Doesn't insist on your own way. We love to have our own way. We love to be right. We love to have things go our way, the way that we've planned. And sometimes that doesn't work, and we should still love. Not irritable or resentful. Does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. A genuine love rejoices with the truth. You know, the Apostle Paul, throughout all his writings, was talking to people about love, about genuine love, about love for brothers and sisters, about love for God. And the Apostle Paul shows us his love for God, and he's willing to follow Jesus no matter what came. Have we a genuine love like that? That we will love Jesus and love God, and whatever happens to us and whatever comes our way, that we will stand and we will stay and show that love to God. in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Second Corinthians chapter 6 and starting verse 1, Paul writes here again. He says that his work together with Jesus, with God, we appeal to you to receive the grace of God not in vain. For he says, in a favourable time I listened to you, in a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is a favourable time, behold, now is the day of salvation. Paul says, we don't put any obstacle in your way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, by great endurance, in afflictions, in hardships, in calamities, in beatings, imprisonments, riots, labours, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, by the truthful speech and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right and for the left, through honour and dishonour, through slander and praise, we are treated as impostors and yet are true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and beyond we live, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing yet possessing everything. We have spoken freely to you, Corinthians. Our heart is open wide. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted in your affections. In return, he says, I speak as children, widen your hearts also. Paul went through all these difficult times because of a genuine love for people to know Jesus. Because of a genuine love to follow Jesus and to show him glory. And he says to them, I like this verse 11 and 15. He says to them, I have spoken freely to you, Corinthians. Our heart is wide open to you. A genuine love where his heart is wide open. He endured all these things in order that people may understand the gift of grace, which it talks about in the earlier part of this chapter. Understand the blessing that comes through Jesus Christ. Understand the suffering that some of us may have to endure. And they did it through genuine love, by truthful speech, by the power of God, with the things that were given to them in righteousness, by the knowledge and the purity that comes from Jesus. And he says to him, in return, widen your hearts also. Isn't that what Jesus wants from us today as we walk upon this earth? To widen our hearts. To be genuine in our love towards others, to share with them the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. That we understand that through the death and burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ that we have hope eternal. That Jesus is coming one day to take us home to see the Father, and we will be with him for all eternity. And at this time, in this time of our lives on this earth, he has asked us to widen our hearts. It's very easy in this life and in these times to get very focused upon ourselves and our families. This is it. This is all I can do. This is all I can do. But we should widen our hearts to all men. We should widen our hearts to speaking the words of Jesus, no matter what affliction or hardship may come. We should widen our hearts to one another, to give honour, to give praise to our Saviour Jesus Christ. In Philippians chapter 2, and verses 19 through 24, Paul again writing to the church writing to the church at Philippi says, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon so that I too may be cheered by news of you. For I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. For they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know Timothy's proven worth. Now as a son with a father, he has served me in the gospel. I hope therefore to send him just as soon as I see how it will go with me. And I trust in the Lord that shortly I myself will come also. Are you known in the way that Timothy's known? Do people know in your life that, startly, that you're a Christian? Do people know that you have a genuine love for one another and that you are concerned about others and the things that are going and happening in their lives? We see here that Paul knew Timothy, well, he knew Timothy very well. And he knew that he was genuinely concerned for their welfare. There were many others that seek their own interests, were only interested in what they had to do. But Timothy had a genuine love for the brethren. He had genuine concern for the brethren. And there was no one like him, that Paul says. He has been proven worthy. He has served me in the gospel. How do you show your genuine love to others? How do you show your genuine love to your brothers and sisters in Christ? In 1 Peter chapter 1, and reading from verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy. He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled and unfeigned, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honour at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls." Loving people is not easy. If we only love those people that are easy to love, then we're probably missing the mark. We're told we must love our enemies, as Jesus said. He said that we should love our neighbour as ourselves, love our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with our more. And the second one was to love our neighbour as ourselves. But loving people is hard because we are imperfect. We make mistakes. We say the wrong things. We sometimes hurt each other. And we go through different trials. But in this life, the genuineness of our love, the genuineness of our faith is on display in Jesus Christ. Every day, people that know you see you and look at the genuineness of your faith and your love through your actions and your words. Our love needs to be genuine. Not like my sunglasses, they're a cheap knockoff. Our love in Jesus must be the real deal. We can fake it and most people won't see it. But God knows our minds and our hearts, our thoughts and our intentions. We can fool man, but we can't fool God. God is in control of all things, and he wants us all to come to a relationship with him through God, through Jesus, his Son, the Saviour of all mankind. The genuine article is Jesus Christ. There is no substitution. There's nothing that's made in China. You can't buy it cheap. You don't have to pay for it. It is free. It is given without cost. In gratitude to him, we show our genuine love, our genuine faithfulness, our genuine willingness to spend eternity with him. If you would like to come and to have a relationship with God through the genuineness of Jesus, who showed us how to love each other, how to care for each other, and he died for each one of us, then we can speak to you about a genuine, this genuine walk that we have in Jesus. A walk of purpose, a walk of hope, a walk of peace, of contentment, of comfort, of joy, provided by his Spirit that is given to all those who come and are baptized into his name. We welcome you to talk to us more about God's word, to share with us the things that we know, and to go further and to look into his word. It's not what I believe that matters. It's what God has said that matters. I can say I think, I believe all the things in the world, but what does God say in his inspired word that has been written down for us by men but breathed by God? The word of God is there and able to give us what we need for every situation. And it is able to lead us to a genuine love. A love for one another and a love for our God, to bring him glory and honour and praise. Would you like to stand and sing the last song?
Greetings from New Zealand. Let's bow our head and pray. Dear Lord, you've given us another year as a gift. You've given us this year that we can look for opportunities, like Paul has talked about, just ways that we can share a light that none see in this world, in a world that's very dark. We pray that we would love others. We would seek every opportunity to outdo one another in showing brotherly kindness and affection and self-sacrifice, as you've shown us all of these things. And Lord, at the same time, with the new year approaching, we don't know what it will reveal, what will happen. We don't know how everything is going to turn out. We know that you hold tomorrow, though. And we look forward to that day when you return. In some ways, perhaps, we're disappointed that the last year went through without you coming back and taking us home. But we just look forward to whatever you bring us this year. And we pray that you would hastily speed that day when you return to bring justice and freedom back to this broken world. We love you, Lord, and we want to love one another. Thank you again for making us a family. In Jesus' name, amen.